Welcome to this week's episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton. Moving into middle of June 2013, we're joined today by Jim Patton. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Adam? It's kind of hot outside. Of course, the Miami Heat weren't too hot last night, but did you say Jim Patton? Because we also got James Patton
with us. Well, who is James Patton?
James Patton is my son, and we were going to talk about some things at Auburn, and he is a big Auburn fan, but the main thing is he's 17 years old, so he knows everything. You know what I mean? So he's joined us here today. I've brought him with me to work because he's grounded, because he only made 30 on his ACT, so I had to ground him. He
didn't and that, make a 30. That was a scale out of what now?
36.
That's a lot better than I did. Well, James, thanks for being here with us today. I hear you're the fill-in guest.
Yes, sir. My dad had a guy lined up, but he's shooting in some sort of film or movie.
Jim, you have a movie star?
Well, I don't. Tom Gossam's going to be our guest probably the next show, but very soon. And I'm going to try to get him this week. He is doing some shooting. We communicated a little bit, but I'm not sure exactly we'll get what project it was. He's always got a lot of projects. He was a great receiver at Auburn. 1 year playing Alabama, we got beat 17-13, and he caught a touchdown pass where it was absolutely clear he got pushed out of bounds. And back then, of course, if you got pushed out of bounds, you could come back in. He caught a long pass. And it was a great game. It was 17-13, but he was a great receiver at Auburn and a journalism major, and he's done movies. He was the mayor in the television series, The Heat of the Night. He was the mayor on that series, but he's done movies. What's that commercial with the most interesting man in the world? What's that?
I think that's the Dos Equis commercial.
I think we'll see Tom Gossam as the next most interesting man in the world.
He was also on CSI and played a role in that movie Fight Club.
He did play in Fight Club, and we'll get all that information from him. But he's not with us today, and we were going to talk some things about Auburn. And James, my son, is a very big Auburn fan, and knows some of the things that we're going to talk about better than I do. But like I said, he's 17 years old, so he knows everything. So we'll be fine.
Well, one of the things when I was talking with James outside before we started recording, seems like he knows a lot about recruiting that's going on. So I think we should just move right into that. It hasn't been that great of a week so far for Auburn in recruiting. Four-star running back Nick Chubb, who was said Auburn was going to be one of his final choices. I think he was also up for South Carolina. I believe he decided to go to UGA. Is that right, Georgia?
That's correct. But you got to remember, we also have that running back from Prattville, Petaway, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, who's a three-star, and I believe he's going to be pretty good. So we already have a good running back recruit, even with the loss of this one.
Prattville's got a heck of a program down there now. So if he's the star there, he's going to be good.
And, this is I'm sure it's a big decision for these guys, and I can't imagine what they're going through. You know, just recently, I think today, Matthew Thomas, that five-star linebacker that made news down at Florida State, he signed a national letter of intent and has then backed out. I think he said that his mother decided that she wanted him to be at Florida State, and that wasn't his choice. He wanted to go to Southern California. He requested to be released from that, and Florida State never responded. It was announced today that he informed Coach Fisher that he would be staying and reporting as a freshman.
Well, that's good. That's good for Coach Fisher and Florida State. And if a guy's already not happy, it's hard enough down there when you are happy. College football is hard, so. We'll see how that all pans out.
Well, and we did have a little bit of good news on the recruiting front. For a recruiter, that is. Have you guys heard 24/7 Sports has now moved Damian Craig up to be their number one college recruiter in the entire country?
It's well-deserved. I believe that we have more recruits from the Mobile area than Alabama does right now, and that's where Damian Craig, his primary recruiting, goes from the Mobile area. That's where he's just a stud at. I mean, he's great.
Well, yeah, and I think Damian is a great recruiter, and he's a great coach. I see Damian being a coordinator one day and then moving on up to being a head coach one day. But he's a great recruiter now, and we're happy to have him. And he was one heck of a quarterback at Auburn. I would say he probably had as much ability, other than Cam Newton, as much absolute natural ability as any quarterback we've ever had at Auburn. So, but he apparently really identifies well with the players, and he's a class individual, and that's very good.
Well, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, it's my understanding that Jason Smith from McGill-Tulane High School is not going to be with us this year. What do you guys know about that?
Well, I believe that he may or may not be with us, because if he took the ACT this summer, which I believe was June 8th maybe, then he has about 3 weeks to get his scores in. I know the prep school he's went to has all his information, but he's not enrolled yet. So I believe that he's waiting for those scores, so he may or may not be able to attend Auburn this year is my understanding.
How long does it usually take to get those scores, Mr. I scored a 30?
I believe it's about, 3 weeks for a normal person, depending on if he takes the riding or not. If he took the riding, it's going to be a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, who does that leave us? We obviously have Jonathan Wallace and Kyle Frazier returning from last year. Anybody want to break down their potential for being starting quarterback this year?
Well, I'll tell you my take on it. Gus Malzahn is good with quarterbacks, and we have – without Jason Smith, we have apparently four quarterbacks down there. Kyle Frazier, who's played some ball, highly recruited. I thought his first year he did good, and his second year, when he had more responsibility, it didn't go as good. And Jonathan Wallace had some good things. He was kind of thrown into the lion's den. Then you got a true freshman we haven't seen yet who's supposed to have a lot of ability, Jeremy Johnston. We got the junior college transfer, Nick Marshall, and who's got a pretty good resume. And I just believe that when you have that many people with that much talent, somebody's going to emerge out of there and be a special player. And it may not be the first one they pick, and it may be later on in the year, but somebody from that group I expect will emerge and be a great player. And I remember a player by the name, y'all may remember him. I remember Ben Laird, who I think was one of the best quarterbacks Auburn ever had. But I remember one year things didn't go right for Ben when he was young, and if you took a film of that a year, you would say that fellow will not play quarterback on a Division II school ever. And then he turned out to be, in my opinion, one of the really, you can look at his statistics or anything, one of the greatest quarterbacks Auburn's ever had. And so Kyle Frazier and Jonathan Wallace, who have had ups and downs, one of them who worked hard and things just start clicking for him, either one of them could turn into be a star. So I wouldn't judge everybody yet. One of these players, I predict, will emerge to be a super football player, and Gus Malzahn's the guy to do it, and maybe more than one will.
Well, the question right now, and of course, is not as pressing now until it gets later toward football season, but who's going to start? Who's going to take that first snap? And, everyone's seen Kyle Frazier. Everyone's seen Jonathan Wallace out there on the field. So let's talk about our two new guys. Nick Marshall, the JUCO transfer, went to school, Garden City Junior College in Kansas. If you guys will remember, he actually was recruited by Georgia and was dismissed from their team from an undisclosed team violation. There's some speculation out there on the internet that it had something to do with theft of property. I don't want to get into that. It's just speculation.
I think what he did was he hollered War Eagle.
Was that what it was?
Got him in a little trouble.
But much like one of our former quarterbacks, it turned out to be a fairly decent football player. He went and played at Garden City Junior College, played in the JUCO leagues. And this last year, he had 3,142 passing yards, resulting in 18 touchdowns, 1,095 running yards, resulting in 19 touchdowns. Now, Jim, we were talking earlier, there's a statistic on his numbers there that kind of concerns you.
Well, I noticed that he had I noticed he had 20 interceptions, but you never know how many of those were tipped balls or how many of them hit a receiver right in the hands and bounced up in the air or what. Plus, if he's got a problem with interceptions, then of him making mistakes, well, then that's something they know they need to work on. And I'll tell you, Gus Malzahn is a very, very intelligent coach, and he knows how to work on things with players. So it doesn't really concern me that much. Nor does certain numbers impress me that much. You know, we evidently Auburn thought he was good enough to sign. We got really good recruiters, and so I look forward to him being in the mix and seeing who does emerge out of this pack to be the starter. And then also very important is who emerges to be the second team guy in case that starter falters. So what you want to do if you're one of these players, sure, you want to start. But if you're not going to be number one, you want to be a darn good number two. Because if something falters, then you're the guy that goes to and you're going to get a chance.
James, what are your thoughts on Nick Marshall?
Well, Nick Marshall wasn't signed from the JUCO League to sit on the bench. He's got 2 years of eligibility. He was a lot of the offense in his junior college. If he didn't get it done, then nobody got it done. That's probably why his interceptions were so high, because he had to force everything because nobody else was going to step up and make plays. I believe that Gus Malzahn maximizes the potential of all his quarterbacks. Out of all the quarterbacks here, Jeremy Johnson may have a little bit more potential, but Nick Marshall has a lot of potential that's already, you know. I think he's a little bit more ready than Jeremy Johnson, even though the Jeremy Johnson has less interceptions. He's from high school anyway, Jeremy Johnson. So I believe Nick Marshall is probably going to end up starting because he just has a lot of potential. Gus Malzahn gets the most potential out of his quarterbacks. And just look at this guy's how many yards he got running and passing. I mean, it's ridiculous. He was pretty much the entire offense at his junior college.
And I want both of your opinions on Jeremy Johnson, true freshman coming from Carver High School. Last year at Carver, he had 3,100 yards passing, 31 touchdowns. James, I'm going to start with you. This guy's about your age. Do you put a true freshman in?
Let's just say if I had enough talent to throw a football and play football and somebody stuck me from high school to college, I don't think I'd be ready for that. So if Gus Malzahn puts him out there, then I'd say – I'll trust his judgment from somebody my age. I don't think they have the maturity and the ability to really play, at an elite level like in the SEC. I think he needs to sit out, maybe get a red shirt, you know. Because there was one guy from A&M who got a red shirt, and he ended up winning the Heisman. So, you know.
Jim, you've played with true freshmen out there. Is this guy ready to make the decisions he has to make?
Nobody knows the answer to that question and won't know it until he starts practicing and where he gets there. And then sometimes you can be a superstar in practice and not do so good in the games. I am not – recruiting is one of the most popular topics, and I'm sure we get a lot of listeners, but I am not a big recruiting fan. I mean, you got to go out and get good players, but as far as you really don't know what you got just till they put on the pads and they're playing in the SEC. First big hard lick you get where your helmet goes off or your head's turned around or you're knocked cuckoo, the first thing that comes out of anybody's mouth is welcome to the SEC. So just like in the NFL, they have first-round draft choices that don't make it, and eighth-round draft choices like a Tom Brady, who was sixth-round draft choice, I believe, or third or something like that.
Sixth.
He was, I probably is certainly the best quarterback, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. So it's just hard. It's hard to say. But so I don't want to judge him one way or another. He's good enough to have been recruited. His statistics look good, and he may come down there and burn it up. Then again, he may not play till he's a senior, and he may burn it up then. So it's just it's just one of those intangibles that makes it so fun to watch football and be a football fan.
And that's why
you're. First game of the season is usually not that big of an opponent, right?
Well, yes. That's one of the reasons you want to look at people. But in Auburn's situation, and we're talking about Washington State here. We're not talking about somebody like who Alabama plays or something. You know, I'm just kidding there on their non-conference schedule. But I mean you know, Auburn's got to get ready for every game like it's a big game after a season like they had last year. They can't take anything for granted. So it doesn't matter who you're playing. You've got to strap it on and play. And most teams have really good athletes now. So Washington State was our first game, and I imagine it'll be a very tough game.
And I imagine as a new player, especially a quarterback, you'd much rather have your first game ever at the college ranks, Washington State at home, versus what we're looking a couple of weeks down, LSU and Baton Rouge.
Well, that's true, but of course, the other side of that coin is if you do good at LSU and Baton Rouge, you're an automatic hero, you know, and that's what players dream about. So. Most players love that challenge. Now, a lot of times they're not up to the challenge as freshmen and whatever, but most players and competitors love that challenge. It's what it's all about to go out there.
Well, let's move on to another topic. We've talked recruiting and quarterbacks enough now. A little bit lighter topic, though no less controversial. Have you guys heard the controversy with the Beat by My Son?
James, did you hear about that? I've got my own opinion about it, but did you hear about that?
You know, I heard about that. You know, it sounds kind of like the caption, never again. You know, to me, it's about the same thing. It shouldn't be a no story. I mean, come on now.
Well, I can say as an ex-player, there's signs and things put up, and every once in a while something kind of does catch your eye, and, you know, you give it a little more attention. But those players, particularly when summer practice starts, they're trying to learn offenses. They're learning a new offense. You're working two or three times a day. You're going to have schoolwork pretty soon, too. Those signs and stuff that are in somewhere have very little influence. You look at them one time, and then that's the last thing on your mind. You're out there getting your brains beat in, and it's hot, and you're learning stuff, and you're getting in shape. And when you think you're in shape, you're having to get in better shape. And I tell you, to me, they talk about the media doing this and that. To me, this is the biggest no story I've ever seen. Whether, you know, I tell you what, I've got a real good friend of mine played at Alabama, and he's here in this office. I'd like to get him in here just to ask him what he thinks about this one issue. Now, he's an Alabama guy. He played at Alabama. He was a star at Alabama. His name's Jeremy Schatz. He was a punter. Matter of fact, he punted at Troy and started as a freshman. He didn't start the first few games, but he started the last games, and he had a dream to go to Alabama. And he left Troy. Larry Blakeney was the coach. I actually helped Jeremy Schatz, who I'm talking about, helped him get introduced to Larry Blakeney. But then he wanted to go to Alabama, and he went to Alabama, and he had a great career there where he's the answer to a couple of trivia questions in my mind. He got SEC specialty player of the week 1 week as a punter when he had a punt blocked. And I don't believe that's ever happened. And he's got one of the top 10 longest punts in Alabama history. I think it's 10th. And he's got one of the top 10 punts in Troy State history. So I don't believe there's many people that have that. But I just like to know what let me go get Jeremy.
Well, you go get Jeremy, and I'm going to update our listeners if you don't know what we're talking about. Recently, I think it was this week, a recruit tweeted a picture from the Auburn meeting room, and the painted in big letters at the back of the meeting room are the words "Beat Bama," and it looks like orange and blue and a little bit of white. It has made its rounds. I was first made aware of this by a co-worker at my law firm who happens to be a Bama fan and pointed it out to me and asked me, do we really have this in the back of our locker room? Is this, or this just points out that Auburn's the little brother. And stories like that have been circulating. And Jim, it looks like you've got someone to discuss this from the Bama side.
Hey, Jeremy, this is Jeremy Schatz I'm talking to. And look, you're the only Alabama football player ever been on this show, and probably the only one that ever will be. And appreciate you coming in here in sort of a hostile environment, but and you know how big the rivalry is, and Alabama's gotten the best of it for many years. But what do you think about this, that there's Beat Bama in a meeting room at Auburn?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. Alabama's their biggest rival. I don't think anybody would dispute that. I don't think there's any coach or player or anybody else working in that facility that's not going to take the first 11 games seriously. So is it something to motivate them? Maybe. That's one of their biggest goals for next season, I would assume. Alabama's coming off 3 national titles in recent years. Auburn's coming into a coaching staff change. Every team has its own goals. That could be a big one for Auburn next year.
Well, but – And I appreciate your opinion, what you're saying there, but as a player, a sign in a room, to me, and I know to most of my buddies, that wasn't all that big a deal. Do you consider it a big deal as a player?
A lot of times you don't even see them. You're so tired from practice. It really wouldn't matter what position you're playing. The heat just takes a toll on you. But there's no telling how many signs were up during the season while I was playing, and I couldn't probably tell you but one of them that was ever posted up, and it was more of a funny sign that somebody had posted up in passing. So I don't really think any player's thinking that much of it, and it's not like they're thinking that this is the only game that we've got to take in that's of any importance. So I think people are making a mountain out of a molehill out of it.
Well, I appreciate that. We finally agree on something. But I appreciate you coming in here to this hostile environment, and you don't have to worry about me asking you to do that again, because, like I said, you're the first and most probably the only Alabama football player that will ever be on this show. But thanks a lot, because some of these things do get out of hand on the media and everything, and that, to me, that is just a non-story. I mean, and in a way, it does give some accolades to Alabama. Yeah, people do need to beat Alabama, and Gus Malzahn needs to beat Alabama. He needs to beat Alabama fairly soon. That's part of his job description. He realizes that, and I'm sure when Saban got to Alabama, I'm sure he felt like beating Auburn was in his job description. That's what makes it a rivalry. But I appreciate Jeremy coming on and sharing that with you. But I just see that as a non-story, and you and James may want to comment, but to me, that's so much to do about nothing.
You know, Jim, I think it's a two-way street as well, because if people remember back to Nick Saban's introductory press conference, he referenced Auburn. He called it the other team in the state, but he referenced Auburn. And, you know, I think it's just something that, you know, trying to get you to motivate the players. Whether or not the players actually get motivated by it or not, that's another story.
Well, that kind of motivation, let me tell you what wins football games is blocking and tackling and fundamentals. And most motivations of something like that is over in a few minutes anyway, the best pep talk or whatever. It's blocking, tackling, running touchdowns. Now, you can be flat for ball games, and you can be so up for a game it actually hurts your performance. But just having a sign in a meeting room that says beat Alabama, you could go in another room and it say be champions. I mean, you know, people do put up signs like that, and the players see them, read them, and then that's it. You know, you don't even notice it anymore after that.
Well, Jim, we've got time for one more story. This is a little bit lighter of a story, but Athlon Sports just ranked the stadiums in the Southeastern Conference. Jordan-Hare coming in at 8th. Tiger Stadium down in Baton Rouge was ranked number 1. Bryant-Denny, number 5. Do you think it's time for us to do not just work on the facade of the stadium, but do you think it's time for Auburn to look at a real stadium overhaul?
I don't know. I know I'm supposed to give answers here, but I don't know. I know we got a great Letterman Club inside that stadium where it's actually inside the stadium. And so I love our stadium because I don't think many others in the whole United States have that. So I love our stadium. What do you think, James? You're going to be an engineer and you're thinking about maybe going to Auburn or UAH and what do you think about the stadium, Jordan-Hare, compared to the others? Because you notice stuff like that.
Well, I've been to a bunch of Alabama games. I've been dragged to some – I mean, been a bunch of Auburn games. I've been dragged to some Alabama games and by my mom. And I have to say, you know, regardless about what stadium's the best, Auburn has the best fans. I mean, after the games, after we've won, I've had people just yell War Eagle, people I've never met or anything like that. Just, you know, random strangers. Everybody's really happy. And I've been to an Alabama game where they won. It wasn't a big game. It was some FCS opponents. They beat them. It was Georgia Southern. And they were mad that they scored a touchdown. Nobody was yelling Roll Tide or anything like that. They just had a bunch of mean looks on their face. And they weren't even happy. And they won by like 30 points. And they were just mean to everybody they saw. And nobody was really friendly. But Auburn, they're War Eagle everywhere. Every single game I've been to that we've won, it's been great.
Son, if you ever run for governor, we'll need to get rid of this.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to. We're going to keep that on here. We don't edit very much on this show. But one thing, James, thank you for being on here. At the end of the show, we always close out with a big War Eagle. We need to get Jeremy. Jeremy just quickly left the room. You don't think we're going to get a War Eagle out of him?
I can't. That would be an impossible task.
Well, guys, we appreciate everyone joining our show today. Jim, I think we did an okay job coming in and salvaging a show despite not having our star guest. Actually, and this we would be a real star.
Yeah,
a movie star.
We're talking about a movie star, and I'm and he's a great guy. He majored in journalism. I did too at Auburn, and he was a wide receiver, and I was, and we had a lot in common. And he's really a super guy, and he does a lot for charities, and we'll explore some of that when we have him on.
Well, guys, glad everybody could listen to us this week. Check out our other shows on Big Brains Media. Go to bigbrainsmedia.com. I noticed that Steve Sample over at the Bama Talk Show recently had Simeon Castile on. The other show's Eavesdrop, High School Heroes. James, you might like High School Heroes. You need to check out that show. It's about high school guys sitting around talking video games and things like that. He didn't have anything to say about it.
I'm really into video games.
Well, you know, I don't know what all they talk to. I'm not in law school. I mean, high school.
Somebody would call James Spann and tell him to cool things off out there.
It needs to. But also check out Just Talking It Up, Undone Redone, Worldview Matters, and as Jim pointed out, Weather Brains, James Spann's show there. So we appreciate everybody being with us. We'll be back with you hopefully next time with Tom Gosselin. And as we end every show, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thank you for being with us, Jay.
My pleasure.